The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
A protest took place outside the Dáil earlier in the week, highlighting concerns around the housing crisis in the Gaeltacht. There are a number of factors at play here, including short-term lets, city dwellers buying in rural areas, and of course there are always planning issues. At the same time, we're all being encouraged to go on staycations, which for many would actually involve booking into an Airbnb in the Gaeltacht. Our reporter Josh Crosby visited the Gaeltacht in West Kerry to meet with the locals, and he's with me in studio now. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Pat.
How bad is the situation then?
Well, the real fear from those who are raising the concerns on this say that the survival of the Gaeltacht depends on housing to keep the language alive. So as you mentioned, look, there are a number of pressures adding to this. What you have since COVID, Pat, is a flow of buyers, many who work for the big multinationals who previously lived in cities, now being able to work from home, and they are buying up property in rural areas. And you can see why. The scenery is magnificent. It's a brilliant way to raise a family, and you're escaping the hustle and bustle of a city. But this all comes at a cost for local families because it drives up market value for those who are on much lower wages.
And of course, if you flog a piece in the Big Smoke, you'll be able to buy something in the Gaeltacht area and have change.
This is it. This is it. Now, even though this is putting extra demand on property, many locals I've met with, they're still okay with families moving to an area and living there. It goes down a lot better than what we know has exploded in recent years, and that is, of course, short-term lets. You drive through the Dingle Peninsula and there are dozens of homes dotted right across the Gaeltacht, lying empty for many months of the year, and then they're booked up during the summer season. And this is really what is frustrating people down there. Now to hear what it's like on the ground, I took a visit to Scoilneagh Gubnet in Dunhuin, and the culture of the area was made obvious to me just as I arrived at the school. There are just under 40 pupils here and two teachers, and just as I pulled up, they were about to board a bus to go to a Cayley. I started off by asking the principal, Malachy McAleave, about the fluctuations of student numbers in a rural school.
We saw a spike in the school numbers. Now, in the last year or two, I can see that that's dropping off now. Those large numbers have kind of gone through the school system now and will be leaving in the next year or two. And I am a little bit worried about looking ahead at what it will look like in the next couple of years. Definitely there is a concerted effort needed to bring new families into the area to keep schools going and to keep a community going.
There's a housing crisis throughout the country in all shapes and forms, but could you describe for the listeners how the lack of housing supply can affect the fabric and the culture of a Gaeltacht area?
Yeah, well, I suppose, okay, there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, disregard the fact that it's a Gaeltacht area, right? We'll bring that in a moment. We are in a very attractive place in terms of the landscapes. First thing you said here,
yes,
when I met you, God, what an amazing view. So everyone is struck by that and people are attracted to it. And people of greater wealth than we have the ability to buy a second home, possibly even a third. So then we're competing with their ability to buy, which raises the market value in the area. That's one thing. We are a Gaeltacht. It's a mixed community here. There's a lot of people who have moved here who have added to the Gaeltacht, who've learned the language, who've got their kids raised through the language in the schools and have become part of that. But then there would be many people who haven't. So there's pressures on the language all the time. We need people who will speak the language.
There's a big push now for domestic tourism. We're being encouraged to go on staycations. How does that go down with locals? Because there's no denying so many businesses survive on tourism as well.
It's very difficult. I have mixed views on the whole thing myself as well. Like I've worked through tourism. I got through college by working in tourism jobs. But there's a detrimental point to it as well. It has definitely affected the strength of the Gaeltacht because so many people have moved here now, but they haven't added to the language culture of the area. Tourism is a wonderful thing, but you know, you can see the difficulties that are involved with that as well. You know, even from a services point of view, in the summer, the population in West Kerry could quadruple in one day, just the amount of people that are in the area. I've been involved in situations during the summer in emergency situations where we've had to wait for over an hour for an ambulance, or you're just trying to shop in Dingle or use the roads. The roads are unusable. Like we, as locals, we do our best maybe not to drive on the roads between 10 and 3 or 4. There's just no point during the height of the summer. It's just, it becomes chaotic, difficult, dangerous at times, even to walk or to use the road. So these are some of the issues. It's a double-edged sword. There's great benefits to it, but then there's the negative sides to it as well.
That's very descriptive from Malachy McAleave. He's the principal of Skullnave Gubnet in Dunhuin. So, what is the housing supply like in the area?
Right, Pat. So I checked online there before coming in, and if you look for holiday rentals, there are 212 homes in the Dingle Peninsula up on Airbnb. On booking.com, there are 90 holiday homes coming up in the area. But then if you look on Daft for actual rental properties, there are just two homes available to rent, and these are well outside Dingle town. The group that was protesting outside the Dáil is part of Conor na Gaeilge, and it published figures showing there was an 88% increase in the number of entire homes on Airbnb in the Gaeltacht between 2019 and 2025. To hear from someone who knows all about property in the West Kerry area, I called into auctioneer John Diney O'Connor in Dingle, who says the lack of availability has never been as bad.
This is my 32nd year in business in Dingle, and I've never seen the demand for property so high and the supply so little, and it's causing major, major problems for the local community. What I found since, particularly since the pandemic, people are selling in the East Coast, massive money, coming to the Western Seaboard, looking to work from home. And it's driving, because of the market forces, supply and demand. Supply being so small and demand so high, prices are going through the roof, and it's eliminating the locals, really. Now, I know I'm in the business. I'm operating for the vendor or the seller. I have to get the highest price. But it is disappointing to see locals pushed out with the demand from the Eastern Seaboard in particular.
What type of supply is available? Are there many rentals? Are there many family homes? What is available?
Well, there are no rentals in Dingle. Before you come in there, I counted in the peninsula, in total, there are only 21 houses for sale. And in Dingle town, in a mile radius, there are only six. And there are three of those door-uppers. Like, realistically, if somebody, a young couple locally, are looking for a house, they have to be budgeting from anything from 350 up to maybe 850,000, depending on the location. Yeah.
How much of the property, the housing that's out there, how much of it will be taken up by short-term lets?
Like, Airbnb in Dingle is massive. No long-term let available at all. And with the new legislation now, landlords will be particularly slow in letting for long-term with the six-year minimum term. You know, it could be counterproductive, but again, time will tell.
And what's coming down the track? Like, have we future development to look forward to? Like, can you give some reassurance to maybe families who are listening? They live in Dublin, they live in Cork, but they'd love to return home.
Well, particularly west of Dingle, planning permission, that's another major issue. The planners have to loosen up if rural communities are to survive. Even my own son applied for planning permission on our old farm at home, subject to planning, and he was shot down. It's something that the government have to look at. The whole community is suffering as a consequence of the planning issue.
And that's Dingle auctioneer John Diney O'Connor. So it's a fine balancing act for locals when they rely so much on tourism for an income, but then there are the long-term effects on housing. But if you had a place down there, you know, you can put it up for Airbnb for the summer and make big money, which would dwarf the kind of money you would get from a long-term let over the whole year.
Yeah, and that's what I heard even meeting locals on the street. They say they know people who've been offered tenancies, but it's only for a fixed number of months, so maybe
and then you
six
get
months,
out.
And then and what good is that to a young family when you have to move and move?
Did you meet with anyone who's actually made the move back to the area?
I did, Pat. So only this week, Fáilte Ireland launched its new national domestic marketing campaign. And there's no doubt many businesses survive on staycations. And those I met with fully understand this. Figures from Fáilte Ireland show domestic tourism generated 3.6 billion euro in revenue in 2024. And down around parts of the Gaeltacht, you can see the seasonal businesses that pop up. And for many, tourism is the lifeblood that makes everything work. But then again, there's a worry then that if tourism starts to override the locals' needs, then you're scraping away at the indigenous culture. That's the very reason many people go to these beautiful areas in the first place. But as you asked there, to find out that the process, what it's like for someone moving back to the area, I met with Gillian Nivreen, who grew up in the Gaeltacht and moved away to study and work. And she made the decision to move back in 2017. Now, she was fortunate when it came to planning, unlike many who are trying at the moment, as we heard there from the auctioneer, John. But Gillian says due to the lack of rental properties available, they had to live in a mobile home, and this is becoming more and more common.
When we began looking for rentals, we just found that it was very limited in what we could find. So our plan was always to build, so we decided to buy a mobile and put it on site. And we ended up living in that mobile for 7 years, and it was not easy to get to the point that we're at now. But that's what so many of my friends and family seem to be doing in the area at the moment. I saw so many of my friends applying for planning, being rejected, spending thousands, struggling, moving sites, this, that and the other. And I just said, no, I could not be dealing with the hassle of that. So I also loved this old building and I wanted to renovate it. So it was kind of a bit of a no-brainer to go that way.
It's obvious so many of the businesses, hospitality, activities, they rely on tourism. Mm-hmm. But then when the housing stock is taken up with short-term lets, that must be a tricky conversation.
It is. It's squeezing out young couples. And then that has a knock-on effect on local schools, on the community. If people can't come home here to rear their families, which is vital, it affects the language. The next generation are struggling to put down roots here.
So that's Gillian Neve-Rean, who made the move back to the Gaeltacht. But 7 years in a mobile home.
7 years.
While they're doing the doer-upper. I mean, that's tough. That's not easy. But easier for her, maybe, than it would be today to get such a permission.
This is it, yeah.
So is anything being done about this? Is government going to do anything at all, do you think?
Well, the government's certainly aware of the ongoing issues, because only on Thursday, the Minister for Rural and Community Development and the Gaeltacht, Derek Cleary, was in Kerry and he launched a national survey that is seeking to find out housing needs in the Gaeltacht. And the information then is set to inform future housing policy that will meet the specific needs of areas. And look, there are changes coming for those operating in the short-term let space. So from May, if a host is offering accommodation for 21 nights or less, they must register now with Fáilte Ireland. There'll be an annual fee and they'll be open to random checks. And there are new planning rules also come into effect to restrict short-term lets in larger towns, but this will only affect properties in towns with a population of over 20,000. And one of the reasons the minister was in the Gaeltacht on Thursday was to visit a development that has been built in Ballyferriter. Now, the purpose of this €2 million project is to provide accommodation for Irish language course students, as there's a shortage of the traditional Bannon T model. And I met with Paddy O'Shea, who's the manager of the local community organisation involved with this project, and which is open, it's still open for applications actually from people who'd like to live in these houses. I met with Paddy on the site and he says they've received funding from Uadhras na Gaeilte, but he thinks that community developments like this should also be accepted for separate housing grants.
Everywhere in every part of the country there's a need for housing. We have obviously a special need in that we're in the Gaeltacht area and we're trying to promote the Irish language. So we decided, okay, how do we go around this and actually provide houses so that people can actually take possession of the houses. Community organisation, we're driving it such that it'll be a reasonable rent. It won't be the market rent. And the idea is that they keep students. So it's a win for us that we get people in houses. It's a win for a person who wants to come home. And it's a win for the community because it actually just brings people to this fantastic place. So really, this is to protect our Irish language, to protect the culture that's in this community and to create a bit of vibrancy. If you look through this village, there isn't a shop, you know, there isn't a post office. Just we need something more to actually bring this alive. And hopefully these houses will encourage other industries around it, if you know what I mean.
And the minister was here this week. Did you get any sense of reassurance or commitment from government that they are going to make it an easier pathway for locals to stay and live in their communities?
The reality is there are grants there. But if we even take our community organisation, we don't fit into any of the brackets of grants that are available because we're a community organisation. So it would be great if that kind of consideration was taken. You know, we are getting support from Uadhras na Gaeilte for this particular development, but if you take all the supports that are there, if you want to build a house, they don't apply to a community organisation for us, like us.
What could be some solution to rebalance that tourism versus local need?
I'd be honest with you, I just think we need to build a few more houses and the houses have to be a bit more affordable. If you take these houses, the government is probably getting 100,000 each of these houses in VAT back. So we're a community organisation. Why is that not actually zero rather than paying the VAT on it? Like, the reality is there's ways and means of actually supporting communities to actually develop, and we'd like to do that.
Okay, it's not that simple though, Josh. They're going to have to pay a rent of how much?
Around €1,000 a month. So when these are up and running, the idea is that Irish-speaking couples or a single person can move here, move to the area. They'll have cheaper rent compared maybe to the market value that's been charged. And but then the win-win there, as Paddy explained, is that there'll be places for students who are there from usually between January and September. So the person living there will host families for a minimum of 7 courses.
Okay, so Banaty and Farity, that's what they act as for 7 courses in those months.
The modern version.
Okay, Josh Crosby, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show. Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.